The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter Number 15, Texts Number 17 and 18, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on November 3rd, 2017, in Pune, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Santushtasya Nirhasya Svatmara Mashaya Sukham Utastu Kutastat Kamalobena Davator Tehayadisha Santushta Kenavarajan Navarte Tapivarina An Aupashtya Dhaivya Karpanyad Griha Palayate Janaham. One who is content and satisfied and links his activities with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, residing in everyone's heart, enjoys transcendental happiness without endeavoring for his livelihood. Where is such happiness for a materialistic man who is impelled by lust and greed, and who therefore wanders in all directions with a desire to accumulate wealth? What are you doing here? No, that's the wrong one. It's a nice verse. I read 16. So now we'll do, I missed 17. Now we'll do 17. Sada santushta manasaha sarva shiva maya disha sarkara kandaka dibhyo yato panat pada shivam. For a person who has suitable shoes on his feet, there is no danger even when he walks on pebbles and thorns. For him, everything is auspicious. Similarly, for one who is always self-satisfied, there is no distress. Indeed, he feels happiness everywhere. My dear King, a self-satisfied person can be happy even with only drinking water. However, one who is driven by the senses, especially by the tongue and genitals, must accept the position of a household dog to satisfy his senses. Purport, according to the Shastras, a Brahmana or a cultured person in Krishna consciousness will not enter anyone's service to maintain body and soul together, and especially not for satisfaction of the senses. A true Brahmana is always satisfied. Even if he has nothing to eat, he can drink a little water and be satisfied. This is only a matter of practice. Unfortunately, however, no one is educated in how to be satisfied in self-realization. As explained above, a devotee is always satisfied because he feels the presence of the Super Soul within his heart and thinks of him 24 hours a day. That is real satisfaction. A devotee is never driven by the dictations of the tongue and genitals, and thus he is never victimized by the laws of material nature. So for a person who has a suitable shoes on his feet, there is no danger even when he walks in pebbles and thorns. For him, everything is auspicious. Similarly, for one who is always self-satisfied, there is no distress. Indeed, he feels happiness everywhere. Very nice state of consciousness. What is that called? Krishna consciousness. So, just like a person can wear shoes and walk anywhere and not be worried about where he's stepping, you have to wear the shoes of Krishna consciousness, you see. Protect you from all the dualities. A little side note here, sometimes devotees wonder, can you wear shoes on Parikrama in Vrindavan? My godbrother Gurudas was wondering, he was with Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada wear shoes on Parikrama? Prabhupada was wearing shoes when he asked him the question. So Prabhupada wore shoes when he went on Parikrama. But there's some injunction, you have to go barefoot, and the Brijabasis go barefoot, but it's not, but Prabhupada wore shoes. That's an interesting side note for this verse. And you wear shoes, don't have to worry about it. I was sometimes, like I was with a devotee, he was just on the far end of Govardhan, and he hit some rock, and his foot was bleeding profusely, and you know, it ruined his parikrama. So it's just a little side note about the analogy given here. But the fact is, if you wear the shoes of Krishna consciousness wherever you go, you're never really bothered by anything. So how do you do that? Easier said than done, right? Yeah, just be Krishna conscious and you won't be bothered by anything. That's a fact, but how do you actually do it practically? That's the real thing. How do we do it? How does one master that art of always being Krishna conscious in all circumstances? There's an insider secret in this connection. Because we're doing things and things are happening to us also, you see. I'm active, but the forces outside of me are acting on me at every minute. At every minute, there's outside forces. We're not the controllers. We can control ourselves a little bit, but there's so many other things happening beyond our control. We're experiencing things at every minute that are happening to us, isn't it? So how do you deal with them? It's the way you have your shoes on. You have your Krishna consciousness. But you're not affected by them. Here's the simple secret. You have to see everything as the arrangement of Krishna. Prabhupada told us this on his deathbed in Vrindavan. He dictated this purport for the 10th canto. He said, everything is acting and moving under the direction of Krishna. This consciousness is Krishna consciousness. So if you see that, then all of a sudden the dualities don't exist anymore. Happiness and distress, heat and cold, pain and pleasure. If you see the loving hand of Krishna behind everything that happens to you at every minute, then there's no more dualities because you're simply experiencing the shoes, the mercy of Krishna at every minute. What about when things are really distressful? Maybe you have a terminal disease and you're dying of cancer. You know, it can be something really heavy. I know, I had a heavy, it wasn't terminal, but I had a very heavy disease a few months back. I was in total pain. What happened was the disc between my vertebrae slipped out and it pinched my sciatic nerve, which goes down the left leg. I was in complete pain. I couldn't walk. It was horrible. I was in so much pain. I went to one therapist, I was paying $150 a session, didn't help at all. I was in really bad shape. It was so bad I was thinking about death. Better to die. I mean, it was really bad pain. But then one day I had a realization that completely turned everything around. Kunti Devi. Vipadashati sashchatatatatata jagat guru babanam jadam narshat apanabhavadarshanam. May those calamities come again and again. Because when they come, I can do nothing except see Krishna. And when I see Krishna, I will no longer see birth and death. So she was saying, more calamities. Please, Krishna, give me more and more calamities because that's when I'm really Krishna conscious. If things are too easy and comfortable, I forget you. But when things are difficult, then I'm fixed in Krishna consciousness. So please give me more difficulties, more difficulties. So I said, Krishna, please give me more, please make it worse. And then I got cured after that. Now I'm practically normal again. When I came out, when I traveled to India, I brought a cane with me. And I'm using it. I have a cane, and you can see I have a cane in my suitcase, a portable cane that folds up. I'm not using it. Because I trained myself to see this is Krishna's mercy upon me. This horrible pain and agony I'm going through is a special blessing from Krishna. I don't understand why, you see. But I know, I have faith, this is arranged by Krishna for some purpose to help me to become more Krishna conscious. You have to see everything that happens to you at every minute in that light. Not your own mistake. Not when you do something wrong. All of us Krishna's arrangement, you know. I fell down from brahmachari life, so it was Krishna's arrangement. No, not what you do. Not what you do, rascal. What happens to you from the outside, you see. That you have to see as Krishna's mercy. And if you do that, everything's beautiful. You see. But if someone comes with a knife to cut my throat, or somebody comes to garland me, it's all the same. You understand my point? But if someone comes with a knife to cut your throat, or they come with a garland to garland you, a Krishna conscious devotee sees them both equally. Yeah. Equally. That's how you enter into the state called Krishna consciousness, where everything is the same. Honor and dishonor, pain and pleasure, happiness and distress, heat and cold, wealth and poverty, it's all the same. You see, because it's all the mercy of Krishna. Now the Mayavadis, they try to do it artificially by just saying it's all one, without accepting Krishna as the cause of it. You see, they just want to say artificially, and they may go on for some time doing that, but they'll fall down from it. Aruya Krishna Parang Patam Yadap 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 Rushabhidanurgaha. They will eventually fall down from that position because you can't maintain it artificially. But when you see it as the mercy of Krishna, then you're paka, you're solid. You have to see everything that happens to you as the mercy of Krishna. Now, what if you're serving your spiritual master and you're bringing his lunch, you completely blow it? You know, it's not even edible. You say, Gurudev, it's all Krishna's mercy. No, not like that. Not what you do. You see. Now, the spiritual masters may see it as Krishna's mercy, but he still will train you how to do it properly for your benefit. You understand? Even though he's equipoised, he can, whether you serve him nicely or you don't serve him nicely, he sees it all as the mercy of Krishna, but he's going to train you how to serve him nicely. That's his duty. Spiritual masters, senior Vaishnavas, you see. They will correct you. Not that they're disturbed by it, but they will act disturbed to train you. Prabhupada was never disturbed within his heart, but he would act very disturbed sometimes when the service is not done properly for the training of the disciple. Sometimes people would not understand. Devotees in the beginning could not understand. He was Swamiji then. When Swamiji got angry, they couldn't understand what was going on. He was preaching to a Mayavadi at MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Boston. There was some program at the university, and Prabhupada was preaching to a Mayavadi. And it became a very intense discussion. Prabhupada grabbed him by the shirt and he said, if it's all one, why don't you wear a cotton ball? Prabhupada said it very intense. He's like, if it's all one, why don't you wear a cotton ball? But he said, oh no, Swamiji's losing his temper. Let's call a cab and get him out of here. They didn't understand, you see. Spiritual master sometimes shows anger and displeasure. Not that he isn't equipoised, but it's his duty to do that to train the disciple. You understand? So we should not misunderstand this. So now that's about the shoes. Now let's look at the next verse. It's the same principle. It's pretty graphic statement here. One who is driven by his tongue and genitals is considered to be a dog, household dog, wagging his tail for a scrap of food, you see. We don't want to be like that. We have to be equipoised, seeing everything as the mercy of Krishna. The brahmana, or a cultured person in Krishna consciousness, you see. According to Vedic culture, a brahmana is meant only to act as a brahmana, spiritual knowledge. In an emergency, he can act as a kshatriya or as a vaishya, but he can never take the position of shudra, a worker, ordinary worker going to his corporate job. However, Prabhupada gave a concession. Just like our Gopal Krishna Maharaj, when he was a householder, when he first joined, he was working for some corporation, some kind of a computer person. And Prabhupada gave a concession. So we have initiated, many ISKCON initiated devotees, second initiated even brahmanas are working corporate jobs. It's like a shudra. That's Prabhupada's concession. But actually, that's not a very good position. The brahmana is not meant to be reporting to some boss, some karmi boss. It's not ideal. If he can have it run a business or become a leader, a powerful leader, that's better. But the ideal position is brahmana, simply studying the Vedas and teaching the Vedas. That's the ideal position. And that's what you boys have, you see. You have an ideal position as brahmanas. You're not going to work at some corporate job. You see, you're simply here studying Vedas and learning how to teach Vedas, Vedic wisdom, Krishna bhakti. So your position as brahmacharis is very, very ideal. Brahmachari life is very, very... I was brahmachari for 14 years. And they said, what are you doing getting... Why did you get married? Actually, I was on the sannyas list. Sannyas waiting list. But then my GVC offered me that. He said, well, you can take sannyas or you can marry this devotee over here. So I saw the devotee was very, not an ordinary devotee, a very advanced devotee. So I said, we could be a preaching team, you see. So, but otherwise I'd probably still be a brahmachari, maybe even a sannyasi now, you see. But I was given a very good opportunity for preaching Krishna consciousness. The Prabhupada says they're only a matter of practice. So that's an important thing. That's sadhana bhakti, you see. We're not at that position now where we're truly equipoised. We're affected by the dualities, you see. We are very much affected by the dualities at the present time. But we have to practice being equipoised. By practicing being equipoised, you gradually master it. You have to desire that position of equipoised. You have to desire them, to see everything equally. Pain, pleasure, happiness, and distress. One has to desire to come to that state of consciousness. Actively cultivate it. And if you have that focus, if you have that desire, then gradually you will master it. As Prabhupada said, this is only a matter of practice. Then he says, unfortunately, no one is educated in how to be satisfied in self-realization. It's a material world. They don't teach you how to be equipoised. So here in ISKCON, you see, under Prabhupada's tutelage, we are learning how to be equipoised. We're teaching you how to be equipoised. It's a very, very important thing. And Prabhupada reiterates, why one feels satisfied in every situation? Because he feels the presence of the super soul within his heart. Now you honestly ask yourself, do I feel the presence of the super soul within my heart? Revati Patti, your senior here, says no. And I'm not there yet either. To actually feel the presence of the super soul within the heart. But that's what we're aiming for. You have to aim for that. That I can feel the presence of the super soul, my best friend, who's been traveling with me for millions of lifetimes, waiting for that time when I will turn to him. You know that? The Paramatma, when you were a dog, the Paramatma was in your heart. When you were a cat, when you were a monkey, when you were a snake, when you were an ant, when you were a tree, when you were a bee, when you were a demigod, when you were a mlecha, when you were a leper, in every single birth you had, the super soul was there as your best friend, waiting, when will this person turn to me? So now, by the grace of Prabhupada and Prabhupada's followers, we have come to that position now. We want to connect with the super soul within our hearts. So we have to understand, I need to come to a position where I can feel how Krishna is with me right now, within my heart. He never leaves me. The trouble is, even though he is there, we have left him getting entangled in material sense gratification, birth after birth. So now we have to come back to feeling the presence of Krishna within our hearts. And my dear Lord Krishna, I know now that you're present within me. I've offended you greatly in millions and millions of lifetimes, ignoring you, even blaspheming you sometimes in some lifetimes. I've done every inconceivable offense against you, but now you've so kindly brought me in contact with a bona fide spiritual master so that I can now reconnect with you. Please, my dear Lord, within the heart, bless me. I can be fully connected with you now, fully dovetailed with you, that my every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances can be totally, wholly, 100% pleasing to you. That's it. It's not impersonal. You have a relationship with Krishna. Each one of us, as I explained this morning, have a relationship with Krishna. You have to revive that, but you can't jump over the head of the spiritual master. You have to go through, Krishna says, you have to go through the spiritual master. Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhaktanam che ye bhakta, te me bhakta tamamata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhakta, he is not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. Someone told Prabhupada, all I want to do is surrender to Krishna. Prabhupada said, don't concoct. Do not concoct. We have to go through the medium of the bona fide spiritual master. Krishna does not want to see how much we're devoted to him as much as he wants to see how much we are devoted to his devotee. And his devotees also. So just learn how to be devoted to all the devotees. And the more you can do that, the more you will feel Krishna's presence within you. If you're offensive towards Vaishnavas, forget it. You're not going to feel Krishna's presence. If you learn how to respect and honor every single Vaishnava and Vaishnavi, you see, they are worshipable personalities, as confirmed by Narottama. Anande Balohadi Bhaja Vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayama. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna. Worship that holy place known as Sri Vrindavan Dham. And always worship the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. So if you want to know the secret of Brahmachari life, you have to be a devotee of the devotees. And you have a great opportunity here. There's so many devotees here. In this room there are so many devotees, you see. Learn how to be devoted to each devotee in the room, you see. Let me now be devoted to each and every person in this room here today, you see. Manifest it. Not just theoretically, but practically manifest it by the way I associate with them. If you will cultivate this consciousness. Prabhupada's sister was very much into this. She just wanted to serve the devotees. What will you eat? What will you eat? She just simply wanted to cook for the devotees. She wanted to cook for the devotees. And she was so humble. Pishima, we called her. Her initiated name was Baba Tarini, but instead of being too familiar, we called her Auntie Pishima. She was so humble that after getting up and sitting someplace on the floor, she would wash it with water. That I have contaminated the floor by sitting in this place. Therefore, I must wash the place I sat with water. That she did that, not artificially, but she actually felt she was so contaminated. She has polluted the floor. She has to clean that area. It's like she felt like she was stool. That's how humble she was. Pishima. So we have to learn from these great personalities how to be in this mood of serving Vaishnavas. She would say, you are a Vaishnava. What will you eat? What will you eat? What will you eat? She was so dedicated to serving the devotees. Then Prabhupada mentions thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day. That's our satisfaction, you see. Thinking of Krishna, that's all you really need to do. The material world, they're not satisfied. Even there was that popular song when I was a college kid. I can't get no satisfaction. I'm going here, going there, drinking this, smoking that, but I can't get no satisfaction. Very big, big hit song when I was a kid. Million seller. People can really relate to that song because nobody is satisfied. You see, it's a fact. There's no satisfaction here, but actually you only need one thing to be satisfied. You don't need a wife. You don't need a position. You don't need anything except to be Krishna conscious. That's all you need. The only thing required. Simply be Krishna conscious. Nothing else needed. It's as simple as that. So chant your rounds very nicely. Rise early in the morning. Attend the Mangal Arati, the Tulsi Puja, Guru Puja, Bhagavatam. Whatever duties you have, you see. Embrace the world deliverance mission. You see? It's very exciting. Actually, we're at the most exciting moment in world history. If you think about it. Prabhupada said, this movement will save the world in its darkest hour of despair. Have you noticed it's getting darker and worse every year? It hasn't bottomed out yet. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. But my understanding is it's going to get so bad that they will eventually take to Krishna consciousness, understanding this is the only hope for the world. They eventually will wake up and realize, you see. So we have to be prepared to lead the world. That is the position Prabhupada has given us. We must become world leaders, each one of us, to take big responsibilities for leading the people of this planet out of chaos. Every devotee, you see, should take this very, very seriously. Jaride katarika Krishna upadashamaragaya guru hoyutadesh. Become guru, become a powerful teacher of Krishna bhakti. That's the duty of every devotee of Krishna. Not just certain devotees, every devotee. Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya's order, Jaride katarika Krishna upadesh, is the same order of Krishna, Sarvadaman Praditya Ja. That same person, Krishna, who said Sarvadaman, he said Jarideka Tarikaha. That's how we surrender to Krishna in the age of Kali. That is the practical surrender we do. We become gurus, we become teachers of this science for delivering the people of the world. That's the duty of every ISKCON member. Become a powerful, fixed, Krishna conscious person who sees everything is the mercy of Krishna, and then who delivers this knowledge purely to every person that he possibly can. That's what it means to be Krishna conscious. And when our movement, when all of our devotees become fixed in that consciousness, our movement is going to take off like wildfire all over the world. You see? Therefore, I'm pushing this point. Our movement will take off like wildfire all over the world. The whole human society will see that these are the people who are going to lead us out of the chaos that's coming more and more every passing day. So, I think we have about 15 minutes left. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them. Okay, here's some questions. I heard that you would skip your lunch to hear Prabhupada's lectures. Yeah. Can you please share that experience and ecstasy that motivated? Yeah, it's a very simple thing. When I joined, there was no Veda base. There was no recorded lectures available. There was only a couple of 33 1/3 RPM and vinyl records that you could hear Prabhupada. Otherwise, there was no lectures available. When I joined, cassettes, even cassette tapes, were not much available. Somebody had some lectures on a reel-to-reel machine. I mean, cassettes came out just after I joined. in 71, cassette tapes. So just after I think it was around 73, I think it was, yeah. A new thing was started in ISKCON called the Bhaktivedanta Tape Ministry. Wow. They were based in Los Angeles, which at that time was the headquarters of ISKCON. The world headquarters was Los Angeles. And they had devotees going around with cassette recorders on the morning walks, the lectures. Now all of a sudden you could subscribe to the Bhaktivedanta Tape Ministry and get an envelope full of cassette tapes of what Prabhupada said 5 days ago on the beach. Wow. A brahmachari's dream come true, right? Wow, 5 days ago, the latest nectar from Prabhupada. But there was one problem. Well, I have to cook the breakfast offering, and I got to wash the dishes, and I have to vacuum, then I have to clean the temple, and blah, 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 blah. The service. Where's the time to sit down and carefully hear all these lectures? I mean, I really wanted to study them, take notes, really get into it. But there's no time in the schedule. But I realized, eating isn't that important. So every day during lunch, all the devotees were taking prasadam, and I went to the Brahmachari Ashram, which is very nice and quiet during lunch prasadam. And I still have the notebooks. I took many, many notes. I listened to every tape, and I took all kinds of notes. And then my service in the afternoon, after lunch, was to go to the campus and distribute prasadam to the students. We made a lot of devotees on that campus. It's a very famous program. It's the first Food for Life program in ISKCON. And it's been going on, at least in America, it's been going on nonstop since 1973 when I first went out. Nonstop. Actually, Garga Muni was the first one. He started it and then they stopped it. And then it was started again in 73. I was sent out to restart the program. It's gone on nonstop now since 1973. The Plaza of the Americas on the University of Florida campus, we give out prasadam there. Now they sell it. But the students' lineup is very popular. They hook the Hare Krishna lunch. The police, the authorities, what is that sound? Tell them to stop that sound. The police, the university decided to shut it down. They said, they came out, they took a sample of this food. They said, this food is unsafe for human consumption. Therefore, you had to leave the campus. And don't come back anymore. So our temple president, he was a fighter. He sent the devotees out to defy the Qazi. And the students were there, and the police were there, and the devotees were there. The police dragged the devotees to the squad cars for giving out a free lunch to the students. And I sent the photographs off to Prabhupada. The students were booing the police. My town president, Amarin, they took it to court, and we won and defeated him in the court. So the program's still going on. But anyway, little side issue, some of the excitement of ISKCON life. So that's how I learned so many things to say, and I would go out to the campus after studying those lectures, and I'd preach very strongly to the students. I heard it right from Prabhupada, and I went out and gave just what I heard from Prabhupada. I'd say the exact same thing to the students, and we made so many devotees in that campus. When I went to ISKCON Gainesville, there was three of us, Amarendra Prabhu, his wife, Mother Gayatri, and me, Sankarshan Das, just three of us. A year that we were in a rental unit, the top half of a house, like two bedrooms, a living room, and a kitchen. A year later, we had bought a big property with two buildings, and we had about 25 devotees living in the temple a year later. So that preaching was very successful. And I give credit to hearing those tapes from Prabhupada. Could you hear from Prabhupada? And you go out and you repeat exactly what you heard from Prabhupada with the same potency and enthusiasm of Prabhupada. I went out and preached, and boom, the magic happened. I made so many devotees. I just saw one of them in Mayapur, in Vrindavan, Vaninath Vasu Prabhu. He was a big leader on the campus in the fraternity scene. And then he became a brahmachari, Hare Krishna brahmachari. So yeah, it was very nice. Okay, next question. I better make them a little shorter. When my answers look like. Okay. Please instruct on how to increase our determination to fight with the proposals given by mind for sense gratification, servicing again and again after spending so many years kick in the face with boot. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur beat the mind with shoes 100 times in the morning, with broomstick 100 times in the evening. In that mood, you got to beat that damn thing, that damn mind. Beat the hell out of that rascal mind. You see. No mind. You're not going to think about girls. You're not going to think about this. You're just going to think about Krishna, okay? Let's get it straight, my dear mind. From now on, we will be Krishna conscious. I don't care what you say. I don't care what objections you have, how much you want to meditate on that girl over there. Forget it. We're going to be Krishna conscious, and that's it. You've got to be tough. But you're tough with your mind. When I face any challenges outside of ISKCON, it increases my faith and enthusiasm. When I hear or see some issues within ISKCON, my face is disturbed. How to remain faithful to Prabhupada? Yeah, we do have our problems here. I mean, you should have seen what happened right after Prabhupada's disappearance. You think there's problems now? This is a piece of cake compared after Prabhupada's disappearance. Whew! It was really heavy. Just after Prabhupada disappeared, man, talk about chaos. Wow! You see, where are those 5,000 initiated disciples of Prabhupada? Most of them left. Shortly after the Prabhupada disappeared, many of the disciples disappeared from ISKCON because there was so many issues. But if you're dedicated to serving your spiritual master, if you're dedicated to serving Prabhupada's mission, it doesn't matter what happens, you will stick with the institution that he created and do everything you can to make it perfect. Prabhupada quoted the English saying, England, with all thy faults, I love thee. I think it was poet Cowper who said that. So ISKCON, with all thy faults, I love thee. You see, I'm dedicated to ISKCON because this is Prabhupada's movement. I don't care, you know, I've gone through hell in this movement also sometimes. I've been very badly treated sometimes. But it doesn't matter because I'm willing to take whatever comes in this movement because this is how I connect with Prabhupada. I connect with my spiritual master. By being ever dedicated to his mission, no matter what may happen. So in that way, it's a matter of love. The mother, even the child may kick the mother, she still gives the child loving care. If someone is trapped in the place and can't do anything, how can he see it as the mercy of Krishna? You can do something. You can be Krishna conscious. That's all. I was just like one time I was arrested for distributing Bhakti Godhead magazine. What could I do? The police came. They put me in the squad car. They put me to jail. What could I do? I was locked in a jail cell. But I could be Krishna conscious. I even wrote a little essay while I was in the cell called "Which Side of the Bars Are You On?" In other words, they have a saying in America: if your jail is called "Behind the Bars," right? He's behind the bars. He's an inmate in the jail. He's behind the bars. But my vision was this: from my vision, here I am, Krishna conscious, and I see the whole material world is behind the bars. So, which side of the bars are you on? I was liberated. And the police, they were all behind the bars, you see. That's how I saw it. So you have to see everything like that. I was liberated, and the whole material world was entrapped. That's how I saw it, from behind the bars. They were behind the bars, not me, you see. Okay, we got 4 minutes left. According to my watch, let's see. As you mentioned, a Brahmin should not be working under... Don't merge them with the used questions. Yeah. As you mentioned, a Brahmin should not be working under someone. We see that even some of our acharyas, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Rupa Goswami, had to work under some master. Yes. That's true. Bhaktivinoda Thakur worked for the British government. It's a fact. So we can. It's not considered ideal, but it can be done if it's necessary. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if you study how he worked as a magistrate for the British, he got his work done very quickly and went back and doing his writing. But the other workers, he could get his business done twice as fast as the other workers, you know, writing judgments and this and that. He'd be finished very quickly and go back to his... And he would take leave of absence also to go on preaching tours. So he minimized it. He was so expert, he got away with it. He was the most valuable... He was the highest position an Indian could have in the British government. Highest position. And he was very, very expert. If there was any difficulty, the British asked Bhaktivinoda to deal with it. He was super expert. Just like that bogus incarnation, Vishikena. Bhaktivinoda Thakura was sent to subdue the bogus incarnation of Krishna. He was making political agitation against the British. So, it can be done out of necessity. How do we increase our faith in our authorities who still do some great mistakes? Well, my authority may sometimes make a mistake, you see. But you have to see the sincerity of your authority. I mean, are you free from mistakes? So don't get too haughty and puffed up thinking you're better than your authority. A devotee always feels humble. So even if your authority makes a mistake, you should see the sincerity of your authority. Very, very grateful to you for sharing the secret of Brahmacharya life to become a devotee of the devotees with all of us. Devotee means trying to please the object of devotion. So while dealing with devotees, we can please them by different ways. One is by satisfying their senses. Is it okay? Well, or just discuss Krishna Katha with them always. You can serve prasadam to your devotees. You can give them some nice prasadam. Share a gulab jamun. There's nothing wrong. Discuss Krishna Katha with them always, which may not please all of whom I interact with. The thing is, a neophyte devotee may not want to engage in Krishna Katha all the time. He may want some pajalpa. So your kindness to him is to train him how to relish Krishna Katha. You see? And that should be done intelligently, so he's actually relishing it. Now that you're trying to cram it down his throat, Prabhu, you are going to hear about Krishna right now. Do you understand? Not like that. You know, be friendly. Jai Prabhu, there's some incredible nectar. Why don't you hear this about this pastime of Krishna? You know, you have to be a good salesman. You know, attract everyone to Krishna. Sometimes or somehow our authority gives it some service which it may not like. Well, that's very good. Because a devotee learns how to like everything. So the more you're given service you don't like, that's special mercy. Because if you accept it enthusiastically and joyfully, seeing it as Krishna's mercy, you will learn how to like everything. It doesn't matter what you're asked to do, you have to see it equally. So wear those shoes, as we were talking about earlier. You have to be transcendental. It's like my godbrother Uttama Shloka Prabhu. When he joined, what service did he get? Cleaning the stool room. In India, that's considered really low class. You hire some worker to do that. A Brahmin wouldn't touch a toilet, for God's sake, you know. That's like the mentality here. But that's Prabhupada didn't train us in that way, you see. He was cleaning the toilet. And when he saw it flushing very nicely and it was very clean, he became ecstatic to see a clean toilet. He became a great leader in our movement, Uttama Shloka Prabhu. He started off as a toilet cleaner for Krishna and he learned how to relish cleaning that toilet. So you, whatever service you're given, learn how to relish it. It's the greatest mercy of Krishna upon you. Okay, this is the last one. We have heard many times that Kunti Maharani's verse for asking for difficulties to take complete shelter of the Lord. And many of us have experienced that when we're sick or bedridden, it's very difficult to be Krishna conscious and hard to attend daily morning programs or doing sadhana. How to understand it as the mercy of the Lord? Well, are any of you going to get sick and old and die in the future? Of course, not you, but I mean your body, you know. You think you're ever going to become invalid and sick and be on your deathbed? Sure, we're all heading for them. So getting sick now is a little preview of what lies ahead. It's like my godbrother Gunagrahi Maharaj, she's dying in Vrindavan right now, you see. Or my godbrother Vasudev, he just recently passed away in Fiji, you see. So we're all, a little time clock is ticking for every one of us. Every one of us is moving, click, 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 1 second closer to death. Every one of us in this room is moving on our way to death. For some it'll be today, for some tomorrow, for some day after tomorrow, but we're all on a time clock. And when it hits that certain number, we're finished. So when you get sick, it's a chance, when you become very sick, it's a chance for you to practice being transcendental, putting your consciousness beyond your material body. You see. The time of death, you may not be able to go to the temple. Gunagrahi Maharaj doesn't come to the temple. He has an evening kirtan. He lives in Vrindavan, but it's too difficult for him to come. He came for Prabhupada's Vyas Puja. Just once a year or whatever. I mean, I saw him. The whole time he was in Vrindavan, he only came once on crutches. Very weak on crutches. But he's not able to even come to the temple. I'm sure he has an evening kirtan in his apartment. Devotees go and they have kirtan. And it's very sweet kirtan. The thing is, sometimes it's very difficult. But I know when I was in Atlanta as a brahmachari, the whole temple came down with hepatitis. We were all very sick, an epidemic of hepatitis. And our GVC was very strong with this. He said, I was so sick that if I drank water, I would vomit the water. If you can imagine how sick I was. And I was just one of many. We were all sick as like anything. We were all just laying in the bed the whole day. In fact, I was so sick that I was convinced I would never relish prasadam ever again in my life. Eating prasadam is like poison. It tasted, I couldn't even relish eating. I was so sick. So, but our temple president said, you must come to Mangalarti in Bhagavatam class. So we would just get out of this, we couldn't take shower or anything, but we would just get up and, you know, holding the wall, we'd just stumble and fumble down to the temple room and sit there, you know. Sit there for Mangalarti and Bhagavatam. Then we'd go back up and get in bed again. But he ordered, we have to go to Bhagavatam and Mangalarti. He ordered us, the GBC ordered us. It was so bad, they hired a specialist to come in from out of state. They didn't hire a local doctor because then it would be known there was an epidemic in the temple and we would have to close the temple and nobody could come for the programs anymore. So they brought in a specialist from Arizona or somewhere. They flew him in to treat us. So it was kept secret from the public that there was an epidemic in the temple because they didn't want to stop the programs. But it was really bad, really, really bad. But we stumbled down from Mangalarti and Bhagavatam every day, you see. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So you should be heavy duty, Prabhu. If you're so sick, tell him to carry to Mangalarti in a stretcher. I'm serious. You should at least come to Mangalarti and Bhagavatam like our GBC ordered us to do. Have them carry you if necessary. Get a stretcher. I mean, Or maybe there's some closed circuit TV you have. I don't know. High tech temple. You can see it on television. Closed circuit television. The thing is, you need to have those things. You know the benefit of Mangalarti? I mentioned previously. There's nine prayers. There's Gravastikam, eight prayers glorifying the spiritual master. There's a ninth prayer which describes the eight prayers. Okay? The ninth prayer says, anyone who will sing this every day during their Brahma Muhurta will receive the direct service of Lord Sri Krishna in the spiritual world upon leaving his body. Would you like to leave your body and wake up in Goloka Vrindavan and your original relationship with Krishna? Yes or no?
Yes.
Then go to Mangal Arati every day. Every day, you see. Every day, Mangal Arati, you see. Even if you're sick as a dog, or sicker than a dog, somehow or other, if they have to carry you or get a wheelchair or whatever, attend Mangal Arati. Do yourself a favor. Don't be a lazy, crazy. Become a real Brahmana. One who is equipoised in all circumstances of health, sickness, happiness, distress, etc. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.